So who are you maining in Smash Brothers, Ajka?
I haven't really settled on anyone yet.
So, yeah, you need to really pick somebody that you want me to, beat you against all the time. Somebody that you're really going to be proud to lose with. I recommend
Who's your
Wario because he farts.
I was going to say, who's your least favorite character?
Like, Dark Pit's lame that he exists.
All
His
right, Dark
existence
Pit's my new
annoys
main.
me. Yeah. So there you go. You can annoy me with that. But then I'll just be happy because I'll beat you. Beat, beat, beat. Pit, pit, pit. Dark Pit. There should just be. Wouldn't it be funny if they, like, all the DLC characters is like Dark Mario? Like, that's the DLC.
But because Dark Pit's like an original character, they'll have like Dark Pit.
Yes, that'd be great. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for October 8th, 2014. This is Mike Minotti, and I'm joined by my brother, Ajguy.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, I'm good. We got some news to talk about, and we can talk a little Smash Brothers and Shadow of Mordor and anything else we're playing. We'll see what the community's been up to. We'll take a look at the new releases, and then that'll be the show. So why don't you go ahead there, Ajguy. What do you got?
All right, so first up, my list disappeared. Here it is. So we all know that the Wii U GameCube adapter is going to be a thing when Smash Brothers comes out. By the way, that date is November 21st. We now have confirmation.
Are you a little surprised it's a November date after all that waiting?
Yeah, it seemed like it was going to be like late December almost.
Why? Do you think they were just like, we're not going to release this date until the game's out on 3DS for whatever reason?
That's very possible because, I mean, look, like not even a week after the 3DS release. And, oh, here's this date.
It kind of makes sense because in very smartly, like all of their press for the game the last couple months has been all about the 3DS version because, it's coming out.
Oh, sure.
But it almost feels weird because now you have like almost just a month to really get people hyped up about this Wii U version. It's kind of weird because like, that initial excitement of Smash Bros. Coming out has kind of happened, right?
Right.
So it's interesting. We still don't really know like what some of the different single player modes are, do we?
Are there different single player modes?
Yes. Single player is like I don't think the Wii U version doesn't have Smash Run. That's
right.
Only the 3DS. So it has to have something else.
Does it?
Maybe it already does, but I don't know what it is. Anyways, go ahead.
Well, anyway, so yesterday, I think it was yesterday, Nintendo of Europe's product page for the adapter said that, like, a GameCube controller would work anywhere a Wii U Pro controller does. So immediately everyone's like, oh, cool. Like, now I could use this as extra Mario Kart controllers if I need it or, whatever. So very quickly the next day, they're like, yeah, that was a mistake. Didn't mean to say that. It only works with Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
And, of course, everyone's super pissed about it.
Yeah, I'm surprised people weren't more skeptical initially because the GameCube controller is just missing three buttons from the Wii U Pro controller.
Right, but at the same time, not every Wii U game uses every button. Like, I mean, it would work with Mario Kart fine.
Yeah, I guess, but then you have to do it. When you have to do it for a game-by-game basis, it's kind of annoying for them.
Yeah, I can understand that. Unless, like, it's somehow baked in the firmware when you go to, like, a button config screen, it lets you pick those buttons, but still, yeah.
I don't know.
I understand why it's not happening. It's just, be careful what you type because the internet will jump on it.
It's weird how that was initially even, misspoken. But hey, there it is.
Meanwhile, in PlayStation land, so Drive Club came out on Tuesday, and they're supposed to be like the free PlayStation Plus version. Well, apparently the servers are hosed, which is a problem for a game that's supposed to be built around an entire social racing concept. So they never released the free version in the first place, but they are still selling the paid version. Which I find odd, because we want to make sure the servers are great for our paying customers before we let our free customers in. It's like, yeah, but you're cool with selling me what you already call a broken game, but you don't want to give it to me for free because you're afraid I'll probably think it's broken or not buy it.
Drive Club's existence is weird, because it only seemed to make sense back when it was like a launch title. Yeah. And now they delayed for a year, and now it comes out and doesn't work very well.
Especially when the reviews for Forza Horizon 2 have been really positive.
Yeah,
everyone really likes that game.
Is there any, does anyone have any impressions of Drive Club at all? Is it any good?
I haven't really been able to read much because, I was waiting just to play the free version.
Right. And also, very little fanfare for its release, probably because it was so botched, but still,
What I find odd is, the free version never even happened. Like, it was never on the store at any point. So how did they know the servers were so bad that they didn't need to release it? Like, wouldn't they have presumably released everything at the same time? I was really confused by that.
Yeah, this whole thing's weird. What's mm-hmm. What's Ubisoft's car game that's also coming
the
out?
The Crew. That got delayed to the beginning of December.
Okay, and that's like, I still don't quite understand, because they say it's like an open world United States.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not obviously one-to-one, but it still like takes, I think, like some, like maybe it's a 2 hours of real time to drive coast to coast, which doesn't sound that exciting to me, honestly.
That's kind of cool.
It's cool. It's cool in concept. But how many times are you going to do that?
Well, okay, that's not... Well, I mean, obviously you're not going to do that, but the idea is that it's a giant open world that would presumably be very varied, very varied, but, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it'd be kind of cool to say, like, oh, I'm going to do some missions in Ohio today, and now I'm going to do some in Florida. I mean, you know, we'll see. There's so many of these open world-y racing games.
Well, there's also that Project Car comes out soon, too.
Well, that's like the super realistic one. That's just PC, right?
No, no, it's coming to Xbox One and PS4 as well.
I didn't know that. But that's but that's more of a Gran Turismo competitor.
Forza kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah. Although I guess Drive Club is also more that than like, I don't even know too much about what Drive Club is.
Yeah, I don't know where it sits. It sounds like it sits closer to Forza Horizon 2, where it's fairly simmy, but still a little looser than like something really hardcore.
Right, right. All right, what else?
Do you see that they're going to make a Myst TV show?
I mean, I saw like the headlines. I didn't really read into it.
There's not really much to read, but it just intrigues me.
A lot of these media announcements, I assume that they'll never come to fruition, so I didn't get too into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you actually think of, I mean, like I said, I read nothing about this, but I would already bet money that a Myst TV show
it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Never again. This stuff never happens. Even when it's like for sure going to happen.
Like the Halo movie directed by Peter Jackson.
Like the BioShock movie, and like the Uncharted movie, and all these movies. Like the only one that happened I can think of recently was the Prince of Persia movie. And it was like, okay. But now everyone was talking about the Last of Us movie, and you haven't heard anyone say anything about that in a while, have you? I guess the Warcraft movie is actually happening since, you know, they filmed it. That's a shocker. All right, so what else?
Final thing I've got. So there's the now parody debate going on thanks to Assassin's Creed Unity. So they've announced that it's going to be 900p, 30 frames per second on both Xbox One and PS4. And I'm thinking to myself, this is like, God, please don't anyone say anything stupid because this could get bad. And of course, some moron from Ubisoft like tweeted, we decided to lock them at the same specs to avoid all the debates and stuff. Oh, mission accomplished.
That was, what?
The worst thing you could have said. Because look, let's face it. If this is true, which it probably is. Because they came out and denied it. They're like, oh, his quote's been misinterpreted, and we understand how it was, but
yeah, set the record that's straight. So annoying.
We didn't lower the specs for the version.
How could we misinterpret it? He said what he said. What is? And they don't say how he misinterpreted it. Oh, I can see how you can misinterpret a direct statement. Yeah.
And then meanwhile, when clearly, I mean, anytime there's been a resolution debacle, it's always been the PS4 is 1080p and the Xbox One is whatever else.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's just sent everyone this tizzy of, oh, like, there's like a hashtag for PS4 for parody and all this bullshit. Like, yes, it's dumb, but everyone also needs to calm the fuck down.
Wait, what are you upset about? Wait, you don't think people should be mad?
I think, you could be like upset, but there's like a hashtag campaign and like people are acting like ISIS is invaded.
There's probably a hashtag campaign for like pumpkin Twinkies. Why does that bother you?
I like pumpkin Twinkies.
Yeah. But I mean, who cares if there's a hashtag campaign? I don't know. I'm kind of annoyed.
Yeah, I think it's dumb. I just think, like, boy, they handled this in, like, the worst way they possibly could have.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people are going to complain about it. I don't know. I can understand why people are a little annoyed if they basically said, yeah. I mean, look, this is what they're basically saying, is that the PlayStation 4 version could have been better, but we decided to make it as good as the Xbox One version so that there wouldn't be a NeoGAF threat about it. I'm mad. I'm annoyed. Why can't people use a hashtag and say they're mad? I don't know. It just drives me crazy. And the resolution is one thing. Frame rate drives me insane. I want 60 frames per second.
You're not going to get it.
I know. It's annoying. It's bizarre.
Because everyone would rather push the fidelity higher and sacrifice frame rate.
What? I mean, that just baffles me at these
things. Frame rate only matters to me it matters most in seemingly racing games and online shooters.
I'm just surprised that it's not a bigger deal to more people, because I can't notice the difference between 900.
No one can. It's 180 lines of resolution. You'll never see
that. I can tell when a game is 30 frames per second or 60 frames per second. And agreed. It's definitely much better when it's 60 frames per second. So I don't know. That drives me a little crazy.
But, you know, would you rather have higher resolution shadows? And, like you know, Last of Us does that. You can play it in 60 FPS, but the shadows don't look as good. And I can see that. I can see those shadows looking bad, and that bothers me.
I think it drives me a little crazy that we have to make these compromises, to be honest.
But here's the thing, though. We're not making them. Like, I almost feel like it's worse in a case, like, well, worse being a relatively lax term. Like, in Last of Us, when I'm given the choice, like, do you want better shadows or better framing? I'm like, fuck, I don't know. Like, they both kind of matter to me, because...
Well, yeah,
I like
that's
both.
What I'm saying. Like, I don't want, like, give me.
So, I mean, you know, at least they're locking it down. I don't have to worry about it.
I don't know. I don't care about, you know, you say,
Look, that's not just settling.
I don't want to settle, all right.
If you care about frame rate, just be a PC gamer. That's the message.
I don't like playing games on my PC that much. I like playing very specific kind of games on my PC, like an MMO or Hearthstone or whatever. I don't really like playing like Batman on my computer screen. But look, that's all I'm saying with this console generation. And I like the new consoles. Like, it's funny because I like almost everything about them except their like specs, which used to be the only thing that mattered. But it's just like, look, when like, you know, the Dreamcast and GameCube and that stuff, and then even, you know, even with the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, at no point was I was just always like, oh man, this all looks so good and it's cool. And even like years like down the line, like Uncharted 2, I'm like, oh my god, this is blowing me away, or Gears of War. And now, like, not even a year into it, just every single game, I'm just like, this is kind of disappointing. I wish this looked better. Oh man, this would look better if I had a PC version. I hate seeing
that
shit.
I think that is the biggest...
It's just bitter.
Failure of,
you know,
this console generation is there always was, like, it was a leapfrogging thing. Like, the new console generation would come, and it'd be like 3 or 4 years before you'd really get to the point where affordable PC gaming could really trump it.
Right.
But that just didn't happen this time.
And it's just bizarre, especially how much longer the console generation was.
I think that's part of the problem. PC gaming hardware just kept chugging along while consoles really didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I guess. But it's almost like you... It's kind of like how I feel about the smartphones, where I feel like I wish they would just, like, wait, like, a generation of smartphones instead of, like, making the hardware better and just, like, fix the battery life. I almost wish, like, maybe the next console generation, we don't really need to, like, push this graphical fidelity much more. Let's just get everything, like, super smooth and... I don't know. Because it's like, if I play Bioshock, like, 1 on my computer right now, at least it's like, you know, with everything bumped up, it would basically look as good as a quote-unquote next-gen game does right now.
Mm-hmm.
It just drives me a little batty. Speaking about some of those next-gen games...
Hey, can I bitch about Destiny real quick?
Yeah, sure. You want to bitch about Destiny more?
Yeah.
We can talk a little Destiny before we get into Shadow of Mordor.
So, right now, after the Queen's Wrath event ended, there is now the Iron Banner going on. So the Iron Banner, it's a cool concept, I think. It's playing the control multiplayer mode. But usually when you play multiplayer, it levels out everybody, so that there's no advantage if you have, like, a really, really good shotgun or better armor than anybody. Well, in Iron Banner, that all goes away. So if you have better gear, you have an advantage. So you either need to make up with it with really good teamwork, which you can't do because you can't voice chat with anybody, or skill. So here's the problem. When you're playing it, just like the Queen's Wrath event, you're trying to gain rep by doing bounties and winning Iron Banner matches to rank up with a vendor, and you could buy exclusive gear. The problem is, if you lose a match, you don't get any rep at all. You get nothing. You get a little bit of Vanguard rep, I think, and some Vanguard marks. So when the first 2 minutes of the match goes by and you're like, wow, my team's not going to win, what do you think half your team does?
Yeah, probably just
lose. It's clockwork. 2 minutes into a match, half of the losing team quits.
Really?
Every time. Every time. It's the dumbest fucking thing. It really is. Like, no one thought of that. I mean, even when you lose a regular Crucible match, you still get a partial reward. Give them some credit. Why? Why is that a thing?
I didn't know that.
So dumb. This game goes out of its way
to make bad decisions.
To slow you down.
Well, like, I think I know why.
I know why, because
they don't have any content except to. They don't want.
I was,
If everybody was at level 30 item, if everyone's at item level 30 right now or level 30, there's no reason to play the game until there's more content.
Right. I was playing with our buddy PJ the other day, and we were farming in the area where the loot cave used to be. And he was joking that it'd be sweet if they, like, made some kind of mission that tied into, like, the lore of the loot cave. And I said, yeah, the problem is that would require them to make new content.
Yeah.
Like, they do all these events and shit. It's just recycling the old stuff with, like, a slight twist.
It is kind of weird that since the game launched, there really hasn't been any new content. Except for, I guess the raid
came out, like, a week later.
There had to be. I mean, that was more just because, well, no one's going to be able to do the raid in the first week anyway, so whatever. But
still, we play the shit out of the game. Like, that's what drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look, the basic concept is so good of bringing MMO style raid in, like, kind of that the loot in gear kind of metagame into a first person shooter, because that stuff, you know, it's one of the best carrot on a stick designs in gaming. So bringing that into an FPS world is very smart. It's just like so many other things about the execution are off. And, you know, again, everyone knows this. You know, we've been harping on Destiny for a while. I don't know if there's too much more to say anymore. The only next interesting thing will be to see exactly, one, how big the expansion is and what it adds. And two, mm-hmm. if there's any, like, new actual content outside of that.
We see people have already, they found a way to sneak into one of the DLC areas.
Oh, really?
There's nothing in it, but you can get to the map.
I don't know. I'm not, like, quite but as
here's,
curious well, about that.
Here's my only fear with any new content to do, outside of the raids, which we're actually attempting the raid tomorrow. We'll be doing that with a group. But I remember playing the beta, and I got to level 8. And I thought to myself, well, this is what the game was like up to level 8. I'm really curious to see what the rest of it's going to be like. But it was all the same stuff, more of it. So is the DLC going to be different, or is it just going to be more of the same? New maps, yeah, but am I going to get to the end of a strike? There's going to be a giant boss. It's just a bigger version of one of the other enemies bunch of ads coming out.
I understand that the raid has some more interesting boss fights, but I mean, some of these strikes, I mean, like,
some, all of them.
Every boss is just, it's a boss with a lot of health and there's a lot of ads. So
they took a character model and quadrupled its size and gave it a lot of health. That's all they are.
And that's a way to, like, you know, make something difficult is to get something a lot of health and make ads, but there's no real strategy to that except for, like, the most basic, like, all right, everyone stay alive and revive each other when they die and spread out a little bit, but, you know, not too far. It's annoying. And, you know, again, because of the dailies and the weeklies, like, I'm already doing the same strikes over and over again. God, if I do that one on Mars one more time where you have to, like, use those stupid worthless interceptors.
Oh, yeah. I hate that part so much.
Oh, my God.
And that was always Bungie's strong suit, was getting in vehicles.
Yeah, right? Well, it's because, vehicles aren't as much fun because they're very conscious about not making them overpowered, because then you can really easily grind XP with them. So that's why, one, there aren't very many vehicles in the single world and why they aren't very strong. So, whoops. Yeah. Destiny's weird because, again, we keep playing it.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if Destiny survives Evolve coming out, because even though it's a very different kind of game, it'll be a new game we can play, the five of us, very easily.
It takes that same time slot, so to speak.
And I wonder if we'll just be like, the hell with this, I'm playing fucking Evolve now.
Yeah.
But to talk about a game that I'm much more enthusiastic about, Shadow of Mordor is so good.
These beefs are tender.
So fine, that Shadow of Mordor. You know, it's funny, because I played this game at E3, and I was looking forward to it, but I was, like, a little worried, like, well, you know, how deep is this going to go, this basic concept? But, I mean, it works so well. And, you know, the gameplay is very much, you know, let's take Batman and Assassin's Creed and kind of combine them. Except it kind of takes, like, the best elements of both of them. It's like the battle system is more like Batman, which is good. But, like, the climbing and the kind of leaping off buildings is a bit more like Assassin's Creed.
It's Assassin's Creed, but it's a lot more forgiving. Like, you could jump pretty high.
Well, yeah. But, exactly. Yeah, you know, you can jump a lot, you can climb a lot faster. Yeah, Assassin's Creed, like, makes the actual climbing, like, a big part of the gameplay.
Well, they want it to feel like it could be real, I think, and this game doesn't care.
Right, which works better. And also, like, that, what I love about the combat, though, is, like, you know, in Batman, you could basically run into a fight of 50 people, and you know you're gonna win. It doesn't matter how many people there are. In Shadow of Mordor, when you're, like, a lot of people, especially early on when you don't have very many upgrades, you're going to die. So you, like, It's one of the few games where running away is something you'll want to do a lot. Because one, you will die, and two, dying has consequences.
This game handles death in a video game better than anything I've seen in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I agree. It actually makes death important and meaningful and, you know, canon in a way, since you're kind of a wraith. And what's, when you die,
Well, even before you die, you get those two last chances, which aren't quite a QTE. They're like a QTE that actually takes a little bit of skill to
pull off. Like you're not going to always get it. The first one you'll probably get. You can maybe mess it up. The second one is, you're probably not
kind of hard.
It's like, if one of the captains kills you, then they become more powerful. And if a normal orc kills you, there's a chance that they get promoted to a captain.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. Which is so, and especially once you're doing the missions where you want to take out the war chiefs and stuff, you really want to plan that stuff ahead. Because if you go in there and die, then that war chief is only going to get stronger. And then it just becomes a bigger headache. So it's like you can't rush into that stuff. You really do need to do a lot of the stuff where, all right, I need to take out this guy's bodyguards first. Or then later on, you can even get them on your side. You can start pitting them against each other. And that's not just oh, that's kind of cool. But why bother? You have to bother with it. You have to you can do the thing where you get the intel. You learn the people's weakness. And you need to do that. Because otherwise, fighting a guy can be really hard when he's surrounded by 20 other Uruks. But when you see, an arrow to a head will kill this guy instantly. Then you do that, and it's like, oh, well, I'm glad I knew that.
Exactly.
But you can't just guess that stuff, because if sometimes they're invulnerable to it, and it can really backfire. One of the coolest things, just this is kind of the game of microcosm to me with that stuff, was I was trying to fight a war chief, and he had one bodyguard. And I had the intel on the war chief, and I saw that he was really weak to beasts. So, and I saw that there was a Caragor pen. So I thought I was being really smart and playing this game super sweet. So I unleashed the Caragor, I jumped on and dominated, and I head over to his war chief to kill him off the Caragor. And then it said that his bodyguard had beast killer, which meant that he could kill the beast in one hit. So then he does, and then I die. And normally it's oh, I died. That's, infuriating. But I was just that's so cool. Yeah, you know what? Fuck me. I did blow that mission. I didn't research that enough. It's awesome.
Yeah, I had a mission where it was there's different skill challenges for your three weapons, your sword, dagger, and bow. So I was doing a bow challenge where it was kill 10 of these marked orcs inside a tower or fortress while you're outside of it in this very specific little area. So you had a little bit of room to move around, but not a lot. And as I'm looking around the area, I see there are two chieftains in the area. One I had no intel on, so I just left him alone. The other one, one of the things I saw was he can be instantly killed by a stealth kill. So I'm like, well, after I finish this, maybe I'll try to work my way over there and take him out too. So I'm trying to figure out ways to take out these orcs. Some of them, I was able to unleash a Caragor cage and that killed a couple. And some I could just had a clear line of sight and I'd headshot them. There's this one that was sitting below a crumbly bit of wall. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll knock this wall on him. So I shoot the wall. It doesn't kill him, but he knows where the shot came from. So he starts running over to look for me. But it also hit the one chieftain. So I'm like, oh shit, he's coming this way. So I run from where I was, and the game has little markers so you can see where the enemies last saw you, so you kind of know. So I run to a different set of bushes. The chieftain runs past me. The regular orc's coming, and so I just kind of quickly headshot him. Now I'm thinking, okay, well, this guy is over here now. He's looking for me behind this little wall. I'm going to run to this next patch of bushes, wait for him to walk by, and bam, took him right down in the middle of another mission. And it just totally seamlessly works.
Yeah,
it's not like, oh, well, we got to cancel your other mission because you did this thing now. Like, no, it all just happens.
Yeah,
it's all completely organic. It is the promise of Assassin's Creed 1 fulfilled.
Yeah,
where,
right.
Like, my objective in the game right now, it's just kill the war chiefs. Like, do what you got to do. One way or another, as long as it takes, you got to take out these four guys.
Right. And it's cool because
here's the world.
Like very,
go ahead.
Because I was the best part of Assassin's Creed 1 was when you had the missions to kill those targets, and it was we'll just go in there and figure out how you're going to do it. And that's that's a very large chunk of this game, but it's handled much better, much more openly. And what's cool is that's not even the story missions. That's you could keep doing that basically for everyone too, especially with the other, the lower guys, the captains. And it's not, it's sometimes are missions associated with it. They're out on a hunting party and you can kind of disrupt them and stuff like this. And that stuff just keeps happening organically. And then there are the actual story missions and stuff too. So there's a lot going on. It's good because it's not a Grand Theft Auto where there's too much to do and all of it doesn't make sense or flow together. But all this stuff is, basically it's combat and the stealth stuff. And it's all playing the game, but it's just slightly different ways to do it. And, you know, it's just like the way the AI remembers you, and you kind of remember the orcs in turn. Like, they're not just a bunch of mindless, unidentifiable groups of people. Like, they kind of have their own, like, looks and personalities, and they'll remember you. Like, if you run away from one, you fight him again, he'll mock you for running away and stuff like that.
Yeah, if you, like, burn one but don't kill him, he'll be all scarred up.
Right, and yeah, it's just, yeah, like, that stuff is kind of next-gen-y in a cool way that, like, kind of goes beyond visuals.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the game doesn't look good, because it does look good.
It does. Also, the voice acting is fantastic in this game.
It is really good. I see some people kind of bag on the story a little bit, but
I'm digging it.
I'm digging it fine, and the presentation of it is good. And what I love that, even though it takes place between The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, there's a lot of Second Age lore involved in it. And
yeah, which is good for a Tolkien nerd like us.
Right, and like some of the collectibles you can find are literally just like pieces of lore. And I love it. Yeah, and it's cool because this makes me think about what they can do next. Like, maybe for the next game, they can like really go kind of unhinged and like just set a Middle-earth game like in the Second or First Age. How cool would that be? Or set something like in Numenor before the fall of Numenor, and just like, yeah.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, it's just cool like to see like a Lord of the Rings game like this work so well that has like, you know, it has some ties to the established stuff, but not a whole lot.
Well, it has a lot of the aesthetic of the movies, like, yeah, you know, the design of the orcs.
I like that stuff.
Oddly, it like, I don't know if I don't like this or like it, but there's none of the music from the movies at all.
Well, the music, yeah, it's true, but, well, that's fine, because the most of the music is very theme-based, and a lot of the themes are for stuff that aren't in this. You know, you have, like, the Fellowship theme and the Hobbit theme. So that, you know, that's fine, I guess, to have new themes. I mean, the only one you would maybe hear would be the Mordor theme. But the music is still good. Yeah, it's different.
It's great. And man, I'll tell you, I was surprised to find out that wasn't Andy Serkis doing Gollum's voice. Yeah, that guy's really good at it.
Yeah, he was. So, yeah, I'm really, really, really liking this game. Super glad that it's as good as it is. And it's
great to just have like a Lord of the Rings game that's really good.
It's super fun. It kind of does do for Lord of the Rings what Arkham Asylum did for Batman.
Agreed.
Yep. All right. So Smash Bros. Obviously, I've been playing a lot of it, but you got your copy now.
I do.
Anything you would like to say about the Smash?
I'm very excited for the Wii U version.
Was that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, I mean, the game itself is great. I like it a lot. It's just I will be much more comfortable playing it on a TV with a GameCube controller.
See, that didn't bother me very much.
It doesn't bother me in the short term. It's just after an hour, my thumb starts to hurt.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. Plus, it's so – I don't know where this comes from, but we played – you, me, and Chris played local multiplayer, and it like apropos of nothing, just starts lagging.
It did for it no like one, it did it like one it did it like maybe two times in like 30 matches to be fair.
Yeah, but it's really odd. Like it's like a loading icon comes up. Like what is going on? Why is this in here?
Yeah, again, who knows what happened there. But it largely worked when we were doing it fine.
Look,
if we had played 30 races of Mario Kart 7, maybe we would have noticed that too. Let's be honest, we didn't exactly put Mario Kart 7 through the paces. So yeah, that's just, I don't know, I just love playing Smash Bros. I still play a lot of it and playing it online a lot. And again, it's one of those things where most of the matches have been really good lately. I have not so much lag, and I've been winning a lot, which I like. I got annoyed because there was a story I could talk to, and then it somehow ended up on like Yahoo, because you know how like Yahoo just like has random stories from around the place. I guess they took this, where it was like saying like, oh man, there's a problem in Smash Brothers because everybody's playing as Little Mac and Little Mac's overpowered. I'm like, Little Mac's good. I don't think everyone's playing as him.
Yeah, because even like he did his own little research thing, and he's like, I don't know, he played what, like 25 matches?
Like 12 matches or something.
And like four of them were Little Mac, or I don't know. It's like,
yeah,
that's not a big deal.
That's not a big deal. And it just annoys me because like thinking that Little Mac is, first off, calling any character in a funny game overpowered when it's been out for a week is so insanely stupid. It's hard to explain how much that bugs me. But like, you know, everyone thinks Little Mac's really strong because he has a really good ground game and he can easily hit people with Smash Attack.
Yeah,
and
but if you knock him a foot off the edge, he can't get back.
Exactly. So there's so many ways to counter that. If you keep him in the air too, he can barely do anything. So he's kind of like juggle him. So it's like one of the things where, you know, if you play Smash Brothers very casually, then maybe it might be hard to play against a Little Mac, but I don't see Little Mac's dominating the tournament scene.
Right.
All right, then. Anything else you want to say about Smash?
It's good. I like it. It's Smash Brothers. I mean, really, it's the thing. Like, unless we get like a really nuanced conversation about all the characters or something. Like,
well, see, if you say that to me, though, it's like it seems so different from Brawl and so much better. I don't know if you ever like. What were your thoughts on Brawl? I know because you're not as crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play as much as you guys. Obviously, I mean, what I liked about Brawl was the roster and the music were my two favorite things.
Yeah,
and the roster in this game is fantastic. Like, I mean, there's a few people missing, but it's no one that bothers me.
But, like, you weren't really bothered by the fact that characters seemed slower and floatier in Brawl, were you?
No, but I did hate the tripping thing. Even I hated tripping.
Well, tripping was casual player. Tripping. Tripping was so dumb. But, yeah, just a lot of the way in the game feels, I just really bring it above Brawl for me.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Let's get to the Squadron of Shame, shall we?
Wait, I have another one.
Oh, God, what?
The Pokemon trading card game on iPad.
Okay.
It's so good.
Yeah, how good is it?
So good. Like, it's funny, just because, like, I haven't played Pokemon card game in years. In my head before I started, I'm trying to think, how do you play this game? Like, what's the rules for attaching energy? How do you evolve a game? Like, I forgot all this stuff. The second I started playing a game, came right back
to me.
Yeah,
right? Isn't that weird?
Like, right back to me. And I never even really realized this, but this is just a port of the PC version, which has been out for a while now, I guess.
Yeah.
And there is crossplay between them, but they did a really good job of digitizing that game. Like, it plays perfectly.
Is it as robust as Hearthstone is?
I haven't gotten into like the economy of it. Like, how do you get like new cards and build decks? I'm still just playing with pre-made decks and unlocking new cards that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there is like you buy gems or something, and that's how you get cards. Like, that's all in there. I haven't done any human matches yet, too. Like I said, I'm still playing through all the AI characters. But, like, the thing with Pokemon cards is it's kind of hard to keep track of a lot of that stuff because you had to have damage counters and poison counters. Yeah,
it's nice to have
it. You know, you might have a Pokemon evolved to the second evolution stage with, like, six energy cards attached. Okay, well, now you have to bench it. Okay, hang on. Let me stack up all these cards, grab all its energy counters, move all this shit around. So, yeah, it's just nice to have all that streamlined. It works super, super well.
And is there online matchmaking and
stuff like
that? Yeah, cool. Yeah, I'm going to look into that. I still play Hearthstone every day.
I haven't played it as much. I need to play it more.
I almost got 500 wins with the Paladin, so I'll get, like, the gold Paladin.
Ooh.
Yeah, fancy, huh?
Heroes of the Storm is entering the final phase of its technical alpha this week.
Yeah, it seems
like then it's going to go offline for a little bit, it's going to be a beta in, like, a few weeks.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah?
All right, you ready for Squadron of Shame? So let's see what people are saying on the Squadron of Shame boards about kind of last week's episode where we talked about Super Smash Brothers. If anyone else was excited for it. So Pete kind of said that he likes Smash but isn't quite obsessed over it like I do. Alex Conley was kind of the same way. He actually asked, you know, what's the main attraction of Smash? And it's hard to, you know. I never really thought about putting in a word for it, but I like it that, you know, it is a fighting game, but it's not one where, you know, pretty much 99% of fighting games are kind of basically Street Fighter clones. They're like Street Fighter clones, or they're like one of the 3D ones, and even those 3D
like
ones.
Like Virtua Fighter, yeah.
Yeah, and even those have really started to fall by the wayside, haven't they?
A little bit.
Like, you know, you have basically like the series that have been around forever, Soul Calibur and Tekken, and that's like it. You don't see new 3D fighting games.
Yeah.
You know, everything's basically kind of a Street Fighter clone. And that's fine, but it's kind of nice to have something that's much less about, like, combos and, like, inputs, right? So, like, you know, you have special moves, but it's not about remembering how to do the special move, and there's not, like, trick to doing the special moves. It's just more about when you do them. Like, the special moves aren't necessarily, they aren't inherently better or worse than some of the normal attacks, even. They're just different. They just have more utility to them. I guess that's the point, is that each character has a lot of utility. And there's a lot, and really, it's a lot more complex than sometimes a Street Fighter can be. Because there's a lot more going on. Because there's an air game to it. Hmm. And, you know, there's kind of an air game to stuff like Street Fighter, but, you know, characters can only jump so high, can only be in the air for so long. You can be in the air for a really long time in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
And plus, it's not just, you know, the KO state is not so defined as, you know, take out all their health or have more health than when the timer goes out. You can do weird things like kill a person who's barely taken any damage, or you can accidentally, you know, die yourself if you make a mistake like that. So there's more, it's almost kind of like baseball where, you know, you can get a home run. That's one way to score. But maybe you can, you know, bunt and get on there. And then, you know, there's a balk. And,
that's an interesting analogy.
It's just, and not, you know, again, I like baseball. Sure. I like, you know, I like football too and basketball. Yeah. It's just, there's something kind of weird about Smash. Plus there's just, especially now, it's just so many characters and the fan service is a part of it for sure.
Well, let's stay on the topic and jump to what Alex Conley had to say about it, because he's never really gotten into the series. He played the 64 version. But what he wants to know is, what's the main attraction, and if it wasn't a cavalcade of Nintendo characters, would the game be as appealing?
Well, I was answering when he said what the main attraction is.
Yeah.
You know, it's impossible to say about the second point, really. We'll kind of never know.
I'd say is, like, you know, look at even, I mean, kind of dodging the issue here, but, like, you know, PlayStation All-Star Battle Royale was very fun. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Nintendo characters, but it was Sony characters.
Yeah.
But even, like go back a bit, even to something like Power Stone.
Yeah, and even a Power Stone 3D, it was a lot more like Smash Brothers than, like, mm-hmm. say, a Street Fighter or even a Soul Calibur. Right. I think it would be fun. Would it have been mainstream? Would I be playing as much as I am? No, probably not.
It does get you in the door, yeah, to have all those characters. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, again, Mario Party has a lot of Mario characters in it, but it's not like I obsessed over that.
Right.
So, you know, again, I like Hyrule Warriors, but it's not like I'm going to be playing that 5 years from now. Yeah. But yeah, so, yeah, I'm really into it. Plus, you know, and as he says, handheld fighters are pretty ace. I agree. I like having handheld games. Yes. Also, you talked about ArcheAge a little bit. Which is the new Korean MMO. Pete said that he's kind of, you know, he's heard about it, but he's, like, so all in on Final Fantasy XIV at this point that he's unlikely to try it. Then he asks us to get into Final Fantasy XIV again, that he wants to do the final dungeon with us both, and oh, that sounds appealing. I really do need to get back into that.
Yeah, I've been meaning to as well.
It kind of sucks, because I know I'm probably going to cover Warlords of Draenor for Games Beat a bit, so I'll be playing that too, but I did really like Final Fantasy XIV. I really do want to get back into it. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get to the releases then.
What we got?
Well, Alien Isolation was the big one for kind of everything.
It sounds so mixed.
Yeah, I was really wishing this would be a game that just was, like, universally loved, because it sounds so cool and I kind of want to be in it, but, you know.
You know, honestly, it sounds like it's too long.
Is that, yeah, I could almost see
I heard
that.
Someone say it takes like 20 hours. I'm like, I don't know if I need 20 hours of that. Plus, yeah. You know what else, too? I was very disappointed to hear, like, there are just, like, humans that you shoot with guns. Like, yeah, why can't it just be you and that alien?
Yeah, because, you know, that's kind of the problem. Like, and this was kind of what I was hearing with Shadow of Mordor. I played Alien Isolation at E3, and again, I loved it, and it was so cool. But I kind of wonder if I basically got everything I almost needed out of that, my one encounter with hiding from an alien on the ship, you know?
Yeah, like...
Were they able to turn that into a great game, that one concept, like they did with Shadow of Mordor? It sounds like maybe not. You know, it sounds like a game that I will maybe play 2 years from now when it's like $5 on...
Right.
You know, right? On, like, Steam. Speaking of Steam, so Disney put a lot of its games on Steam.
Yeah, Split Second's calling my name.
I was about to say, I didn't realize until just now that Split Second was one of them. Holy shit.
Yeah, that might be happening pretty soon. How cool would that be on PC?
Yeah.
Well, just a way to keep the game alive, because, I mean, I had the 360 copy, but 360, don't want to turn it on anymore.
Yeah, right.
Split Second is, I think, if you were to ask me, like, what game from the 360 PS3 generation did you feel is most underrated?
Yes, exactly.
Split Second.
Yes, agreed.
Hands down.
Split Second was
the fact that we don't have, like, a next-gen Split Second, and never will, is just the wrongest.
Yeah, Split Second was so much fun. Yeah, I really wanted, I am going to get that. Again, though, probably wait till, like, summer when it's, like, $2, but, man.
Right. Oh, so good. So good.
So Drive Club, PlayStation 4, we talked about how that's having trouble.
Kind of out.
Yeah, GameSpot gave it a 5, so. Ooh. Project Spark is, like, out now.
It's out of beta. I've been meaning to, like, I mucked around the beta a little bit.
It seemed like they made a big deal about this when they announced it, and then no one really cared afterward.
People have been making stuff for it. Like, I don't know what the numbers are, but.
NBA 2K15 always seems to be a solid series, although...
Did you see all the horrors of face scanning?
Yeah, that's pretty funny, huh?
Uh-huh.
That stuff never works. Why do they always try to do that?
I don't know.
It's cool in concept, but yeah, it just never works.
It just never works. All right, that seems to be pretty much it. All right, so that'll do it. That's the show. So thanks for listening, everybody. Please go to squadronofshame.com on the Exploding Barrel message board there if you want to discuss this week's show. You can also find us at ebpodcast.com. That's where you can find all of our episodes. You go to Twitter and Facebook, follow us. And go to the iTunes Music Store. You can, again, find all of our episodes there. And you can leave us a review. We always appreciate that. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. You'll find more of us next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye.
Bye-bye.